We have talked about how peace isn't the absence of difficulties and trials and hardships, but the presence of Jesus. Peace is not the absence of things, rather it is the presence of someone. He is our Prince of Peace, and with him we can face these things. That in being with, trusting, and obeying him, we experience his peace as we experience him. This week, we are, drum roll please, we are talking about the peace giver. That was quite good, team. I appreciate that. The peace giver called celebration. When I say that, I'm not talking about the kind of celebration that comes with a party or a pay rise or the end of year break and some time off from work or school. Hopefully you've got some of that. But the kind of celebration that comes from a deep joy that isn't dependent upon external circumstances, that is not dependent on external circumstances, but rather an inward and inner reality. When we look at the records of history, we see that celebration has been a part of every nation, empire, and movement. Celebration is core to how we are made. We as humans were made to celebrate. Have you ever thought about that? A life without celebration? Well, I'd hazard to go, I don't think that's much of a life. We as humans, there is a core part of us that was designed to celebrate. And so with that in mind, let's get into the mode. Let's get into the mood to celebrate this morning. I want to say this early on in the piece because I think that this is important to the overall understanding of celebration. And it would be this, that I don't think that we're very good at celebrating in this day and age. Come on. Murray's great. To be honest, I think we've lost the spirit of celebration and in short, exchanged it for the pursuit of happiness. Moments scattered throughout our calendars and lives. And I don't think that this is something that we've willfully done. But like anything, when we don't understand it and we don't practice it, we lose it. I appreciate how Harvey Cox puts it in his book. It's going to come up on the screen, a book called The Festival of Fools. It's a good read. It's an interesting read, that's for sure. And he says this, when he writes, the modern person has been pressed so hard towards useful work and rational calculation, he has all but forgotten the joy of ecstatic celebration. Here he's specifically talking about where we have currently landed within our Western culture, that be it the English in us, I don't know, but we're quite reserved, we're quite withheld, we're withdrawn. And he goes on in his book to talk about the fact that celebration isn't just something that we partake in, but it's something that we practice. And if we don't do that, then like anything, when you don't practice it, you will lose it. So, how does peace and celebration come together? This morning, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2 and explore this. And just like in the past few weeks, I want us to take time to slow down, to read a good portion of Scripture, and to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us, to speak through His Word. We've been talking about this idea of peace and peace on earth. And I hope that by now, being this is the fourth week, that you have in some way been able to engage in a sense of slowing down and breathing and gathering yourself as we again just simply be in the Word of God. And that I think that the Word of God, one of the powerful things that when the Spirit ministers through the Word of God is that it actually, it realigns us ultimately to who we were meant to be. But firstly, for that to happen, we've got to slow down and stop who we're currently being. And so that's why throughout the series, I felt it really important that we actually take time to read a large portion of Scripture and let it simply speak for itself as the Spirit of God does his thing. So Luke chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 1 through to 20 this morning. It will be up on the screens. Feel free to follow along in your Bibles or on your devices. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God's word find ready soil to take root, and by the Spirit of God, draw us deeper into his life. Here, we have the epicenter of the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. With that comes the announcement of his arrival by an angel to a group of shepherds caring for their sheep. Understandably, the shepherds were freaked out. But the angel reassures them, saying, "Do not be afraid." The angel doesn't finish there, though, but continues to say, "I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people." At the heart of the Christmas story, we hear loud and clear that we have something to celebrate. I'll put it another way. Don't fear. I've got good news. News so good, it will cause joy and delight. And the reason that it's so good and joy-giving is because it's for everyone. Family, the first and the main point that I want to make this morning is that we have a reason to celebrate this Christmas. And we find it in the person of Jesus. I felt like somewhat of a broken record throughout this series. But it's Jesus. He is our peace giver. He is our reason to celebrate. He is the reason we can expect and trust and obey, because he came. He is our Savior. Just as the angels declared to the shepherds, may we also hear and receive these words that are as true for us today as they were for them. A Savior has been born to you. To you. To you. A Savior has been born to you. This is personal, family. This is for you this morning. May the Word of God speak deeply into the deepest, darkest crevices of our souls, every single part of us. May we hear these words, a Savior has been born to you. We celebrate that one has come that can put right all the things that have been put wrong, and that a light has dawned on a world in darkness, and that light is Jesus. And we get to join with heaven's armies, declaring glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. This morning, this season, we join heaven's armies, declaring what they have been singing for 2,000 years now. And we say glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom God's favor rests. Over the past few weeks, we have talked about trust and we have talked about obedience. That for the Christian, trust is the giving up of control, and obedience is the giving up of self. As for celebration, I would define it as the giving up of praise, relinquishing what is not ours to keep, that God is worthy of our praise and honor. He is worthy of our uninhibited celebration. He is worthy of our wild worship. He is worthy of our reputation before others, because he is God and he is with us. He is worthy, family. He is worthy. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it gives this instruction. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. A sacrifice of praise tells us that it can be costly to us, but in giving the praise that is not ours to keep, we find liberation from cultural norms and standards and the opinions of others. When Jesus becomes our focus, when we realize that he deserves it all, and we begin to let go of the things that keep us from pressing into him with our hearts, souls, minds, and strength, we move from living in the little that we have into the complete abundance of who he is, his peace. I will say that again, that when we move, that when we give praise and we celebrate, and that our reputation is not what we guard, but rather it is God's reputation that we lift up and glorify. When that happens, we move from the little that we have into the abundance of God. Because God says, when you honor me, I will honor you. He is worthy of our praise, most worthy of our praise. And we sung that this morning. How good are those words? How true? How beautiful? He is worthy of our celebration, of our wild worship, of our reputations. This is exactly what we see take place with the shepherds who, having heard and seen that Jesus was born, head off spreading the word, glorifying and praising God like what we read in Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. They had seen the one who was going to change everything, and they head off, not caring what people have to say, but celebrating what they had seen and what they had heard. I would probably add one more category to that. It wasn't just what they had seen and heard. They went off declaring, telling other people about what they had seen. They went off praising and glorifying God, celebrating what they had seen because of who they had met. Have you met him this morning? Because he's here. He is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. But have we lowered our guard enough, family? Because he so longs to meet us where we are and move us into where he is, to change us forever. And on a Sunday, if we continually come and just like rinse and repeat the same thing over and over again, we will miss out on all that God has for us if we are not willing to lower our guard and become available and vulnerable to the Spirit of God through the Word of God amongst the people of God. If we don't do that, we will miss out on so much. We shortchange ourselves, family, when we come here not expecting great things. Because he is the God of great things, miracles, God with us. This morning, I want to end with this final point. Celebration isn't just something that we participate in. It is something that we practice. I began this morning saying that I think that we have lost the spirit of celebration. It's not something that we have tried to do, but like anything, when we don't practice it, we lose it. It's not like riding a bike, okay? It's not like riding a bike. This world is so full of distractions, things that keep us from living a life of celebration towards God, be it busyness or just the constant stream of bad news coming at us. But the Christmas story tells a different story, one worth celebration, because it is about the one who is worthy of our praise. See, no matter how many distractions can come our way, no matter how much like bad news seems to be in the news feed as we scroll on our phones or open the newspaper, nothing can change the reality of God with us, of Jesus coming to this earth and doing what only he could do by becoming a perfect sacrifice on our behalf so that once again we could know him personally, intimately, and slowly but surely God is redeeming all things back to himself, making all things new. And so it doesn't matter how bad the news feed seems, God is redeeming. God is moving. God is powerful and active. But will we notice it? Will we celebrate it? And I'm not talking about like a nice bit, like grinning and gritting our teeth. What? How's that saying go? Gritting our teeth. Oh, I don't know. I think I've combined sayings. Classic Dave. Like, I'm not talking about the nice, like the world is falling apart, praise God, kind of thing. I'm not talking about, like, ignoring how hard life can be. Because that goes, like, counterintuitive to who God is and that we are made in his image and he doesn't, Like, he is not remote or distant from hardship or pain or hurt, but he actually does something about it. And he moves into it and he invades the mess with his grace and glory. And he says, this cannot stay the same. I've got to change it. And we were made in his image. And so it's not about celebrating the evil in this world. Because I think that so often when we just say, just celebrate and praise God no matter what happens, it can very closely get to like celebrating the evil. When God's like, no. I'm here to replace that stuff. This is not how it should be. I'm here to do something about it. That baby in a manger was here to do something about it. And he grew to be a man. And he did something about it. And when he hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. And he ushered in a new age where God's kingdom would come on earth. And he would replace, slowly but surely, every messy thing that should not be here. That is our God. He is the one we worship. He is the one we celebrate. And I hope, family, that as we, like, as I labor this, there is this sense of like increasing awe that we don't have to get downcast about how ugly the news feed is. Another shooting in America. Oh, well. But then we can pray into that and go, Lord, your heart breaks. How could this happen again? Be with those families. Be with the police force who are doing their best to protect lives. Lord, we lift up the American government, whatever it may be. We don't just shrug and move on. We partake in what God is doing. And he is making all things new. In the book, Celebration of Discipline, epic book, one of my favorite reads this year, by Richard Foster, he writes this about celebration. Celebration is a grace because it comes unmerited from the hand of God. Say that again. Celebration is a grace because it comes unmerited from the hand of God. In other words, he enables us to celebrate. It is a grace of his. It is a gift of his because the pressure's off and he has done what needed to be done. But then he goes on to talk about what part we play in celebration. It is also a discipline, something that we work at, something that we practice, because there is work to be done. The sacrifice of praise is the work to which we are called. The sacrifice of praise is the work to which we are called. Family, this season, this morning, we have something to celebrate. Yeah? Yeah. We have something to take great joy and delight in. Yeah? Yeah. But not just something, we have someone. We're an inanimate object. Or that pay rise that could come or go. The reason to celebrate would be far less. Rather, we have someone to celebrate. Someone we press into and we worship and we adore and we praise. We give up praise to because we don't hold on to it because it's not ours to hold on to because he is the creator of all things and he is active in this world. He is God. We have something to celebrate. Like right now, tell your heart, I have something to celebrate. Go on. I have something to celebrate. Now we're going to say it out loud. Because I'm not sure how many of you did that. I have something to celebrate. Go on. Turn to the person on your left and right. or behind you or in front of you and say, you have something to celebrate. See, we can do this and it can be jovial and even lighthearted. And that's a good thing. Because I think that as Christians, we so often take ourselves way too seriously. Way too seriously. And that like little bit of like laughter or joy or happiness or that smile that you received from that other person, let that grow. Let that flourish. Let that be something that we as a family here at CBC not just participate in, but we practice and we get good at. Imagine being a family who is known for celebrating good things and beautiful things. Because that is what we are called to celebrate. That is who we are called to be as the people of God. The spirit of celebration has been lost in this day and age by the majority of Western culture, I would say. It is like right about time that the church took that back and said, no, I'm going to celebrate because I know somebody worth celebrating and giving up praise to. And I don't care about my reputation because he guards it. He guards it. Nothing is safe until we have given it to him. We have to remember that, including our reputation, including our honor. We don't get to hold on to those things because they will only rob us of our peace, because we will forever be guarding ourselves against what people have to say about us. We find peace in the act of celebration and the giving up of praise because we are no longer trying to protect who we are, but we are placing ourselves into the hands of the one who holds all things together and who is supreme over all and who breathed life into every single part of what we exist in right now. We find peace in that, that cannot be taken, that cannot be, like, we cannot lose because there is nothing that can separate us from his love once we have come to know it. There is nothing, no height nor depth, angels nor demons, powers or principalities, nothing that can get amongst that. Not even a bad news feed. Family, do we have something to celebrate this morning? Yeah. Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy. Peace can be our reality. But peace is active, not passive. Something we can receive or reject. Peace is not the absence of tension and difficulties, but the presence of Jesus. And we can either accept him or reject him. Will you accept or reject the Prince of Peace this morning? Even as Christians, we can live that way. I know that in my own life, quite often I reject what God has. Even as Christians, we generally put that down to people who don't yet have a faith in Christ. But I think we need to bring that up, that we reject what God so often has for us. That it's not just a, once you've received God, you forever are in a receiving position from him. No. We're still battling. There's still the old nature. There's still the flesh that's working against us. We can still reject what God longs for us to receive from him. Are our lives marked by expectancy, trust, obedience, and celebration as we follow Jesus, forsaking everything else and pursuing him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? I'm not talking here about the perfect Christian. God's concern is not about perfection, as that is His work. That is His work. He is bringing us into perfection. He cares about our progress. Our movement towards Him in response to His constant movement towards us. Of course, we will struggle to experience peace when we allow things in our lives to rob us of peace that keep us from knowing and experiencing Jesus, be it distractions, hurry, stress, or even living in a way that does not honor God. Let's be real here. God is a jealous God. He longs to be honored and glorified and lifted to the place that He alone is deserving of. And I know that there is stuff in my life that is not honoring to Him. And until, not just until, because it's not a one-off, but until I'm in a space where I'm ready to continually be giving that back to God, my peace from Him, not that He withholds things, but because I'm distracted by other stuff, I don't get to experience the fullness of God. Does that make sense? And so the way that we live and the way that we honor God is just so important. I'm not talking about works here, family. We need to be really careful that we don't like land in like a legalistic, like bound by, I've got to do the right thing. But rather, I'm talking about like a deep heart desire that I know that all of us have here this morning, to go deeper with God, to give Him our everything, to receive His peace and love. As we press into God and His peace becomes our greater reality, we also become ushers of His peace into a world that is so hungry for peace. Family, we're wrapping up the series here, Peace on Earth. God's peace is not just for us. It is something that was always intended to be carried with us that we may give it. I wasn't planning on sharing this story, but this week on Monday when I was doing some Christmas shopping, this is me testifying to God's work in my life. This has got nothing to do with like me being a pastor or a preacher or whoever I am. Much love, child of God. This week on Monday, I was doing some Christmas shopping, and in the morning, I walked into a shop, and I was just perusing, and this lady walks over to me, and I can't exactly remember how the conversation went, but like, it was like, it impacted me, because this is along the lines of, okay, this is not direct quotation. She said, are you okay? Are you happy browsing? And I said, yeah, I'm all good, thanks. She said something along the lines of, I thought so. When you walked in, things were different. And I was like, what? She's just like, you just seem to have way more peace than anybody that's walked into this shop this morning. And I was like, oh, what? You've got to be kidding me. And she's like, I don't know what it was, but you don't seem to be overtaken by the stress of this season. And I was like, wow, it's not what, it's who. And we were just able to have a real short conversation right then and there. That was in the morning. That afternoon, I went back into town to continue my shopping after regathering myself. Got to do it in waves. And I went into another shop, and this young girl came up to me, and she said something really similar. And she was just like, man, like, you're different to all the other shoppers that have walked in today. Like, you're way more just, like, relaxed. And she was like, do you want to come and work here? And I was just like, no. But, like, again, that was nothing about me. That was nothing about me. But what I'm coming to know and receive is God's peace from slowing and breathing and being in his word and meditating on him, with him. And the world will notice. Twice in one day is not chance.